Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to be with you again this afternoon and are excited over the anticipation of being able to go into God's Word and answer your questions. This is a live calling broadcast where you call in your question, and we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. The number to call is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We do appreciate so much all of you out there who listen week after week, and we are prayerful that the things that we are sharing with you, that you are able to go into the Bible and look at them yourself. The reason why we say that is, of course, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, which says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is so important that your faith does not exist in man, but rather that your faith might exist in the Most High God. And the only way for that to happen is for you to take his word and hide it in your heart. You have to go to God's word and see it for yourself, believe it for yourself, and then do it. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Let us encourage you today to open up your Bibles if you can. If you can't, maybe write down the scriptures so that you can go back and research as we answer these questions on the air today and we go to God's word for the answer. The line is open right now, so go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
The lines are now available, so go ahead and call 308-9564. If you'd rather text us, you can text our phone of 725-9283, and that way you can communicate without having to wait on the answer, having to wait on it, us to pick up. And so that would be, again, the text line is 725-9283. All of these numbers are area code 843. Now, that's important because if you have a friend or relative that is out of state or out of the country, you can let them know right now, if you want to, that they can tune in via the internet simply by going to our website at www.biblealone.com, biblealone.com, and they can hit the live stream button and join us right now anywhere in the world. If you would like for them to join us, just go ahead and call them and let them know. And in the process of letting them know, if they want to participate and call in their questions, this is area code 843. Now, the voice line is 308-9564, and there's two ways to communicate with us that way. If you would like to have your question written down and brought into us, that will be fine. We take anonymous calls that way just fine. If you want to go live on the air, we do ask that you tell us your name and also that you be ready to turn your radio down immediately upon us talking with you, because that way there will not be a confusing echo and causing kind a confusion. We just do not want that. And so we want your name and be ready to turn your radio down if you want to go live over the air. From time to time, we do ask some of you that are our former or some of our Bible students who have already received the Bible Correspondence course that if you would like to get on the air and share with the radio audience what good was occurring from your Bible studies through the mail that way, we would be glad to let you have that opportunity. So don't miss out on that as well. Again, that number is 308-9564. Both lines are now available, so go ahead and call in your question. Again, if you'd like to give a share with the radio audience the blessing that you receive from the correspondence course or whatever you got from it, we'd be glad for you to be able to share that with the audience today. Calling that same number, 308-9564. Just let them know that I would like to go live and share with the radio audience what I received and what I learned from the study of the Bible Correspondence course. Again, that number is 308-9564. Again, if you have a text line, if you'd rather go with your cell phone and text us, we have that option as well. That number is, again, the same area code, 843. And that number, the text number, is 725-9283. Either way, you set the theme for this broadcast today. It is your questions that will go to the Bible for the answer. But God is the one that's going to answer the questions. And I don't say that tongue in cheek, because when we study and we listen to what God's Word says, Make no doubt about it, it is God that is speaking through his word. Now, man may abuse it. Man may twist it. But the truth of the matter is God's word is God's word. And so we're going to give you what God says in his word. And if by chance we make a mistake, tweak it in the wrong way, or if we come up or interject something or discount what God's word says, you will be our friend to stop us in our tracks and say, no, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. And then when you give us book, chapter, and verse, we'll go see. And if we make mistakes, you will be our friend, because Galatians chapter 1 says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So God will cause a curse to occur to us if we say, teach, or bring out anything besides what God says in his word. If it pertains to life and godliness, God has the final answer, and he will have the final answer. So wouldn't it be prudent for us to know what his answer is right now, while we can do something about it? So here's the number. Call 308-9564. The lines are available, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a call calling in today. Leslie calls in today. Leslie, we sure appreciate you listening. Leslie says, is the Holy Spirit just a feeling? I heard a minister say this recently. Well, again, Leslie, we are so thankful that you decided to call in with this question. When we go to the Bible, what we'll find is that the Holy Spirit is not described as a feeling, but rather as a person, if you will. And I use person very lightly, but he's part of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we call God. He's part of God, and he's referred to as a person. If you look at John the 16th chapter, John 16 verses 13 and 14, Jesus is speaking to his apostles, and he tells them that he's going to send them the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now, take note, he calls him a he. He calls the Spirit a he. And so the Holy Spirit is not a feeling, but it makes reference to a he, a person that's part of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. And so now this also brings out another characteristic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to be a bringer of truth, a messenger. And Jesus says in verse 14, he, that is to say the Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, Jesus says, and declare it to you. And so the Holy Spirit was to take of what he had received from Jesus, and he was going to declare it to the apostles. And so the Holy Spirit was a messenger. There's tons of things I could show by way of scriptures the Holy Spirit is, but the Bible never describes him as a feeling, but rather he brought the message of the gospel. This message that we read in the Bible, all that is from the Spirit. It is Spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit inspired these scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And so we have this word that's been inspired by God. The apostles, they wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gave them these words. It's not a feeling. But the Bible also shows in Acts chapter 1, when the apostles received it on the day of Pentecost, that they received power. This was in line with what Jesus had promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, they received power. And so again, the Holy Spirit brought that. So there's a much more that we can say about that. But I think what I've shared, just looking at the scripture, shows that it's not the idea of a feeling. The Holy Spirit was a real, it is a real personal part of God. He is, in fact, a he. He came with power. He brought the message. And thus today, if in fact I have the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have that message that he gave living in me. For the word of God is living and powerful. I sure hope that's been helpful, Leslie. Very good question. And join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. Remember, we do have a text line for those of you who prefer to text your question in. That number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We live in a day and a time when the world is getting increasingly more wicked as time goes on. And I know we live here in the South, and it's hard for us to imagine a snowball, but I think we know what a snowball effect is. If you're standing at the top of a sloping hill and there's a 3-foot snow on the ground, if you just take a little snowball about the size of a golf ball and wad it up, you can and start that ball rolling down the slope. By the time, depending on how big the slope is, by the time it reaches the bottom of the hill, that little ball that started about the size of a golf ball could be 5 foot thick by the time it reaches the bottom. And the farther it goes, it grows exponentially as far as its size, because it is getting heavier and picking up more and more snow as it goes. Well, okay, you got the point. Wickedness does the same thing. And what we need to know is that if we, as people trying to stand for God and shine with His righteousness, we need to understand how wickedness sometimes does grow like that. And we live in a day and a time where that may be affecting us more and more as time goes along. But what we have to do is, Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you and pat you on the back." No, you're right. That's not what that says, is it? "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." What we're going to find, what we found out, or what you no doubt have probably seen as well, and that is, we're living in a day and a time where glorifying God is no longer popular. And thus, we would encourage you to not lose heart, because no matter how bad the world may get, how dark our society may become, the powers that be may become wicked and more wicked, God is going to have the final answer, both in every individual's life and in the world as well. And so what we need to know, what we need to do, is to have a heart that will seek after His righteousness, after His way. Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Also, it says they must all be taught of God in John chapter 6. They must all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father comes into. We've got to learn from God, learn from His word, and thus we will be showing ourselves approved to Him. So, my friend, if you have a mind to seek after the truth that Christ brings, then you've come to the right spot, because we're going to go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. But now what we need is you to participate right now and call us with your question, and we'll go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. The choice is yours of how to communicate with us. The answers will come from God's Word. So now's your opportunity. Both lines are available. Again, the number, our voice number, is 308-WJNI, 308-9564. We'll be right back. The correspondence course we just told you about there is absolutely free. If you were to enroll today in the course, it'll be in tomorrow's mail. We literally have thousands of people across the United States that partake of this course, and we're glad to send it out to you as well. Most of them are in the Charleston area, and we're glad to have you there and for you to have studied through those things. It is our joy to be able to share it with you. Please do not hesitate to go ahead and call the operator standing by. It is our privilege to be able to share with you the wealth. So please do not give us your money. We do not accept donations. We do not give us your tithes and offerings. It is our honor to share with you the treasure in God's Word. As we just said, we want you to know we are so blessed to be able to by God, and we want you to be blessed by God as well. And the way He showers His blessings upon us is if we keep His commandments. There's only one way to keep His commandments. We got to know what He says. So you will learn things in this course that maybe you might not ever hear in church or in the pulpits across the land. So it's so important that you, if not for no other reason, curiosity reason, to what is it that is in that course that is not being taught across the land? Well, we'll be glad to send it to you free. Again, that number is 553-5157. More than happy to send that to you. And then you fill it out, send it back to us. We'll send you the next lessons and so on until the end. 553-5157, and we'll send that to you, even starting tomorrow in tomorrow's mail. But now, if you have a question, you already received the course in the past, we still would love to hear from you. If you'd like to share with the radio audience, or if you received a blessing from the course, you can go live over there and share that with all the radio audience today. Again, the number to do that is 308-9564. That's our voice line. You can go live over the air. We would need your name and be ready to turn your radio down when you go live on the air. Or if you just have it, rather have your question written down and brought into us, that number again is the same, 308-9564. We live in a day when technology is abounding around us, and so we can communicate through text messaging now. So if you're one that would rather communicate that way, our text number is 725-9283. Either way, we want to hear from you. We'll go to the Bible for the answer.
The lines are, in fact, open right now. It would be a good chance for you to get in. Sometimes I know you call and the phone just rings and rings and rings, but right now it is completely open. And so go ahead and give us a call right now with your question, 308-9564, 308-9564. We also made mention earlier about our website, www.BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com. Not only are you able to go and click on a link and hear the broadcast live streaming, but you're also able to listen to previously recorded broadcasts, as well as there are other materials that you may find helpful as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. And so go ahead and take advantage of that as well. There are a lot of tough subjects that come that were asked on the radio broadcast, and time does not allow us to go into a great deal of detail. And so for some of those subjects, there are information on our website that can give you an opportunity to go into greater detail in your own personal studies. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that as well. And then throughout the course of the broadcast, we have breaks. And the break really is to tell you about a correspondence course that you can sign up for that we encourage you to take advantage of as well. And if you've been thinking about it, you wanted to engage into a study in your home, we do have a correspondence course that can be sent to you in the mail and that you just recently heard about at our last break. So go ahead and call the operator standing by if you're interested in that, and that's 553-5157, 553-5157. And another thing that we offer to aid you in your study of the Scripture is an in-home Bible study. And I don't think we've mentioned this for a little bit. If a group of your family members or neighbors, friends, like to get together in a home, and you would like for us to come out and to host a Let the Bible Speak in your home, whereby you ask questions and we go to God's Word for the answer, as our schedules permit, we'd be happy to do that as well. Our entire goal is just to get people back to the Bible and let them see what God's Word says. And so if you're interested in an in-home Bible study, go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know that that's something you would be interested in. Again, that number is 553-5157. Now, the real question is, why so much push, or why are we putting so much pressure on getting into the Word of God? The Word of God was written for several different reasons, and I just want to highlight two real quick, and hopefully this will encourage us. In 1 John, we find perhaps one of those reasons that we have what is written. John starts off by talking about Jesus, and he speaks about Jesus this way in verse 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. When he says the word of life there, he's talking about Jesus. He says the life was manifested or revealed, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4 is key. He says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So one of the reasons we have this word that's written for us is that our joy might be full, that we might engage in a fellowship with that of the disciples, that of Jesus, that of the Father. And the way we are able to engage in that fellowship is through those words that have been written to make us a part of that fellowship, that we might have a joy that is full. And then we recall over in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, what Paul says concerning why he wrote. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3, he talks about that by revelation, he, talking about God, made known to him the mystery. And he says that he had written briefly already. In verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So another reason why we have this word, or the reason why it was written, was so when you read it, you could have an understanding, he says, of his knowledge in the mystery. Well, if someone is giving you an understanding of a mystery, it is no longer a mystery. And so God was revealing himself by way of the word. One final passage to consider, and that is John chapter 8 and verse 32, which the Bible tells us, where Jesus speaking here, Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he identifies that the truth is something a person can know. And so now we encourage you once again to go ahead and call in your question and know the truth. Allow us to go into God's word to find the answer from that which is written. 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to call. Or go ahead and send your text question in right now. 725-9283 is the text number. 725-9283.
We have a text caller calling in this question. Their last three digits of their phone number are 081. We will first of all want to thank you for tuning in and also for writing in your question. It is a very good question, and we certainly appreciate it, and we're glad that you have joined us this way. Their question is, did God create evil? Well, very good question, because there's verses of Scripture that brings out that that there was nothing created that was not created by him, and that seems to imply that he created evil, and thus that would make him not righteous if he created evil. Well, let's look at a couple of verses that may help us to understand this better. First of all, in 1 John chapter 3, and verse 8, it brings out, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. So there it brings out that the devil is the one that is the responsible agent for sin, and that he started that from the beginning. And then also 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for punishment. And then he talks about the ancient world and Sodom and Gomorrah and ends the thought when he says, the Lord, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And so we can see there, God gave us, he created man, but before he created man, it seems he created angels. And those angels left their first estate, rebelled against God and sinned, and God cast them out of heaven. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the devil in the form of a serpent enticing man, in this case, Eve and Adam, to violate the only law that God had set up. And that law was expressed in chapter 2, Genesis 2 and verse 17, that they were not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day they were to eat of it, they would surely die. So that was the only law, period. There was only one. And the devil didn't wait. He wanted to do everything he could against God because God had already cast him out. And so now he entices them to eat of this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and then sin entered into mankind. That was the very first, and Eve was the mother of all living, it brings out as well. And so there was the beginning of mankind and also the beginning of sin. And thus, the snowball, as I mentioned earlier, began to roll with all of us to the point to where Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, all sin and come short of the glory of God. And so we also make the choice to violate God's law. Now, they had it pretty good in the garden, only one law. Now, we have many things that God commands us, not because God is trying to be cruel and unusual in his law giving, but it takes all of that in order to establish us to overcome all the influences of the evil that has grown and the darkness that has occurred in this life. And so everything God asks us to do and to not do is for our good. God loves man. He does not desire that anyone would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's what he created man for. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He did not create hell for man. It's just man may choose to go and join them by their practices. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So let's let the word of God make us into what we need to be. Again, that was 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, and then also 2 Peter 2 and verses 4, 5, and 6. I hope that's been helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question, and I hope that has been a blessing to you. Again, the numbers are 3089564. It's time for us to take another break. While we are at break about this correspondence course, please know it is free. We are more than happy to send this to you. You will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen or heard about before. So why not get this course and see those things for yourself? Here's the information on it. The numbers, again, while we're at break, you can continue to call in your question, 3089564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We're glad to be able to be with you today, and we hope and pray that you will call in and your question will go to the Bible for the answer. As if you're a frequent listener, you know that we often have questions pile up at the end of the broadcast. So now's your chance to go ahead and call in without interference of other people being on top of you. And so go ahead and call in your question, 3089564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
3089564, that is the number to call, 3089564. We've been talking briefly, kind of off and on today, about this idea of there's a lot of different things going on in the world, a lot of different teachings out there, and again, how important it is for us to be acquainted with the Word of God. You know, and I think prior to going to break, we talked just briefly about what we have in the Bible. We have a message that is written, and why is it written? Well, it's written so that our joy might be full, that we might have a fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with that even of the apostles. Those who walk this earth and those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this word. And someone might say, well, now, how do we have that fellowship? Well, we have that fellowship by being on the same page, you know, doing what it says, that which they have given. This word was given for us to actually do what's therein. And, you know, we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and how it is profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine is teaching. And so what I should be doing is using these scriptures to teach. And anything that you would receive, whether it would be at church, you know, where you go and you assemble, it should be coming from the Word of God. If anybody's talking to you about spiritual matters, all that should be coming from the Word of God. No one is at liberty just to teach what they want or to teach what they feel. There is a passage there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, verse 12, which says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so I don't have a right to teach what I feel. And you don't want to go listen to someone teach what they feel. You want to hear a thus saith the Lord. And one of the reasons you want to hear that is because God is interested in obedience to him and to none other. There'll be many people on that day that think because, well, I was a good person, that God's just wanted to ignore that I didn't do what he says. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 20 and 21, specifically verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And so God has placed that kind of emphasis on obedience. I have to do what he says, but it's impossible to do what he says until I learn what he says. And that's one of the reasons we have the correspondence course. If you are struggling in your studies, you're trying to put things together and that's not working for you, go ahead and call the operator standing by. Let her know that you are interested in the correspondence course, and she will send that to you in the mail. Again, that number is 553-5157. We have the Bible studies, the in-home Bible studies. We have the radio broadcast. We have the website, so you can go and you can download information. All this is available to you to help you in your study of God, that you might know his will, that you might do his will. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it goes on to say that many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" So here you have a grouping of people that will have done a lot of good things. And I'm sure that, you know, the person he's describing may be a person like me, where I think because I've done some good things, some kind of how, I'm going to slide into heaven. There is no sliding into heaven. Either I'm in or I'm out. And that's going to be as a result of the judge. And the judge is going to judge whether or not I did what he told me to do and what was my motivation behind it. And verse 23, of these people that's doing all these good things, he's going to say to them, he says, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Now that word lawlessness, some of your translations may say iniquity. It just is the idea of doing what you do without authority. And so I can't add to what God's word says. I can't take away from what God's word says. I'm not going to be able to get there on judgment day and says, "Well, Lord, I just didn't know." Do you know that the Bible is the world's best seller? If you want access to the word of God, you can have it. But you have to want it. And you must come to know his will. And then you must come to do his will. There's a saying that I use often in Bible studies with some of the Bible students, and it's simply this, that as we know better, we must do better. But now, we got to want to know better. Let us aid you in that. Take advantage of the correspondence course. Take advantage of the Bible studies that we're offering to help you in your study of God's Word. Or take advantage of this broadcast right now. Call your question in. The lines are completely open right now. I'm sitting and I'm looking at the person who's answering the phone, and he just looks bored. So go ahead and call in your questions. 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. If you prefer, you can text us your question at 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are glad to have you join us today, and we hope and pray that the things that we cover from God's Word will be a blessing to you. Again, there's one line available right now, 308-9564, or you can text us your question if you would rather use a texting method by texting to area code 843-725-9283, 725-9283. We mentioned earlier in the program how that we must try our best to not allow the evil of the world, the wickedness, the darkness that is surrounding us, to keep us from shining bright with God's glory. And God gives us warnings about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. "Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Evil companionships corrupt good morals." And thus we can see that God warns us about that, that we must be very, very conscious of that influence that they may have on us. But at the same time, he understands that we cannot remove ourselves. In the first century, there were several denominations of the Jews. One of those denominations of the Jews were called Essenes, in which they walled themselves in behind walls, and they would not have any contact with the sinful people of the world. And that they just did not want to have any kind of connection with those that were evil at all. And thus, they were called the departed ones, the Essenes. They literally had places where they would stay and would not come into contact with anybody of the world. So is that what God expects us to do today? Well, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we can see that when he's talking about having to withdraw from someone because of their sin, he said, I wrote to you, this is chapter 5 and verse 9, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with the sexually immoral person. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world or with the covetous or extortioners, idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator, a covetous, or idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. And so if we were to try to do something like that, how would we let God's light so shine that people would see God through us? And so we must remain in the world, but we cannot look like, behave like, and be of this world. For the love of the world it will destroy us. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life will be destroying us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 warns us against that. Do not love the world. The Lord tells us to do not love money. And he gives us several statements there. So going back to my first passage, 1 Corinthians 15:33, he starts with the warning, be not deceived. It is so easy for us to be deceived about this, that we can be playing with, acting like, running with the world. And we might say, oh, I don't love them. I'm just acting like them. Well, the Lord says that we should be careful, lest we be deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. When we're among them, we should be shining as lights in a dark world. Now, you'll find out that's not popular. You walk into a dark room, you turn on the light, darkness flees. And so we're going to find ourselves alone many times because of that. So just get ready. The darker the world gets, the brighter we'll stick out. And darkness will not like that. So join us right now. We have some questions coming in now, but go ahead and get yours in. 308-9564. There is one line available. And then also you can text us at 725-9283. Yeah, we'll go ahead and take a break right now. And the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. There's one line available, so go ahead and call in and just let it ring, and we'll get to you in just a moment. Again, the number 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we do want you to know the lines are now available, 308-9564. You can call in your question. The operator here is standing by. Chuck is ready to receive your call on the telephone, and so he can have your question either written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. The question, the option is yours. If you would like to go ahead and give a rundown on what you thought about the correspondence course, if you've received that in the mail recently, we're more than happy to put you live over there, and you can share with all the audience what you thought about God's Word as you studied it through this course. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Or if you'd rather text us your question, you can do that as well by texting to 725-9283.
We have a caller that called in today, and in fact, there's three questions here, so we'll do our best to try to answer those questions. The first question is, are you affiliated with the Church of Christ? Well, let me just try to answer that question the best way I know how. The phrase Church of Christ could mean a lot of different things. So there are Church of Christ of scientists, there's Church of Christ, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there's the Church of Christ, International Church of Christ. And so what I always tell folks, let's just try to stick with the Bible language. There's about 10.
10 more.
10 more. No, okay,
10 more,
yeah,
different kinds, yes.
I just try to grab the ones that I was familiar with. And so sometimes the way we use names to make reference to the church may not be the way the Bible used the name. Now, it is absolutely appropriate to refer to the church as a church of Christ. That's to say, it's a church that belongs to Christ. Christ is the owner. But if you are truly a church out there, you can only be belonging to Christ, because the Bible shows in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, that he is the head of the church. And Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so if you are, in fact, part of the church, you can only be part of the one that he built, because he only built one, and that would make it a church that belongs to Christ. So you can say a church of Christ, but you could also say the church of God. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul writes to the church of God at Corinth. And again, that's just a description of who the church belongs to. The church belongs to God. The church belongs to Christ. And all those are descriptions to represent the church. And so there's not multiple different churches that God built. He only built one. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure we're part of that one. Well, how can I know what that one looks like? Well, I go to God's word and I see what the church did, and I do the same thing. If we do what they did, we'll be what they were. If I do something else, then I'm operating outside of the guidelines of God's word, and I cannot be his people. And so to answer the question, I went a long way around to say, sure, I'm part of the church of Christ, part of the church of God. I'm part of the church that Jesus Christ built. And that church, if you want to know how that church looks, is just the way or what we see in the Bible. It says, when you are baptized, what church are you baptized in? Well, there's not multiple options. There's only one church. So you can only be baptized into the one church that Jesus Christ made. And according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, that shows that we're baptized into his church. The Lord added to the church those who were being saved. And so that's Christ's church. That's the only church you can be added to. If you're baptized for some other reason besides what we read of in Acts chapter 2, then you're not baptized into his church. They were baptized for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And then the third question is, what is the name of your church? And maybe you didn't ask this question this particular way, but we don't have a church. Remember that Jesus is the head of the church, Colossians 1:18. It's his church. And his church doesn't have a name, but rather a description. It shows who owns it. And again, it's been called the Church of Christ. It's been called the Church of the Firstborn. I believe that's in Hebrews. It's been called the Church of God. But all of those descriptions make reference to him, to his ownership. Now, do we have a sign out front of our building? We sure do. And it says a church belonging to Christ. Again, making reference to him as the owner. But don't pay any attention to anybody's signs, ladies and gentlemen. A sign doesn't mean anything. You need to go inside and see what they're practicing. And so you compare their practice to what you read of in the scripture, what you see concerning the first century church. Are they doing their worship the way you read concerning what you read in the Bible? How did the church in the first century, when it was established, how did it worship? You know, how did it give its money? How did it sing songs? How did it partake of the Lord's Supper? When did it partake of the Lord's Supper? How did they pray? And how did they do? You know, you can just go right on down the line. Because what you want to do is you just want to be what God established when he established the church. That's all you're trying to be. That's it. And again, there's no elevation of self, no big eyes, no little use. And so a lot of good questions here. And I sure want to say to the callers, thank you so much for calling in with these series of questions. And I hope that encourages others to dig deeper into the scriptures to see what the description of the church is, that you can make sure that you're looking just like the one you read of in the Bible.
Nick, we just had a caller call in about that, saying if the church is Christ's bride, doesn't that mean he only has one wife?
That is correct.
Yep.
And for him to have two would make him adulterer.
That's right.
And so he don't have two. Very good comment. Yes, he only has one. And so we have to make sure that, again, I'm part of the one that he made, not what somebody else says, but what's that church that he made, and what we have in the Bible is a picture of that church.
Absolutely. Good comments, and we sure appreciate the caller in asking that. Sometimes a question will come in like that that is just so basic that is, but, you know, sometimes we ignore some of those basic things for some of the meatier things or the more controversial things. But questions like that are so needed because we tend to accept status quo in the religious world as things are right now and forget. God only died for one church, that is His church, and we better be part of that church and not another, or else that would be adulterating, just connected with that last comment that was brought in. And that's not what He intended for us to do, to change it in any way. And if He is the head and He has all authority, then how much headship and authority do we have? I agree. We have none. Hopefully every one of y'all just said that. We have another caller calling in this question or texting in this question. By the way, we do want you to know if you'd like to participate, you can call in your question right now. The lines are now available. The voice line is open, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. And remember, also, there's an operator standing by to receive your information about the free correspondence course. And we're happy to send that to you as well. Number for the correspondence course is 553-5157. So there's an operator standing by there right now for the next 45 minutes. So make certain that you will call there for the correspondence course, 553-5157. And you'll learn some things from God's Word that you may have never seen before. The devil has an agenda, and he wants crucial things hidden from religious people. And he's been very successful at pulling this off. And so it behooves us to make certain that we know everything the Bible says on all subjects, especially if it's in the Bible. It's not what man says, but what God's Word says. And if we miss some of these things, we may be on the wrong road. So let's go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Again, that operator standing by number is 553-5157. We'll get that course in the mail to you even tomorrow. But now, if you have a question, we have the lines available, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to your question on your heart. Again, let's see, we have a caller texting in this number, and their question is, what scripture or scriptures can I read when I feel like everyone in my life doesn't mean me any good? Well, maybe a lot of people might relate to you here and relate to that, because we do get sometimes feeling so bad. You're in good company. I think of 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19. Elijah himself got down in the dumps and felt like everybody was against him. And God was patient with him, actually fixed him a meal that would last for 40 days. And thus he was able to go without any kind of eating or drinking for the 40 days that he was in that slump. Well, God helped him out in that time so that he would be able to snap out of it. And basically the same information or the same message that was given to him then is still true for us today. I'm not going to go through those two chapters right now. I'm going to encourage you to go through. In chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, he's on top of the world, top of the mountain, peaks. Chapter 19, he's in the valley of the shadow of death. Literally, he's on a mountain. But as far as his feelings, he was down in the dumps. And basically, God told him, showed him and demonstrated him is, I don't have to do physical things, amazing things, in order to operate in this life. But get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself. I've got work for you to do. And so sometimes the best way to get out of a situation like that, the best way to kill a depression is to work it to death. Now, I'm not saying that you're in a depression here. I'm saying that sometimes that is what causes us to feel this way. And you're in good company. I just wanted you to know that. Elijah got down. David got down. There were many Bible characters that got down and felt that everybody was against them and that everything was going wrong. But here's what the New Testament brings out. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he tells us that we are to be thinking on whatsoever things are true, what things are pure, just, lovely. Let me just read it because I always mix them up. It says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. And so that's, first of all, what we should be thinking about. God says that we ought to, or are we commanded to? Well, he's commanding us there to think that way. And you might say, well, we can't force ourselves to think. Yes, we can. We are responsible for what we think about, or at least what we dwell on. And that's what he was telling us there, that we should be dwelling on those things that are upright and positive rather than the enemies and the shadows of this life. Now, I also want you to be mindful of, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it tells us how to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it instructs us that that we should love even those individuals, as you put in your question, that seem to not mean me any good. Okay, your enemies. All right, let's just call them that. Well, the Lord tells us that we should love our enemies. And the way that love looks is, it is patient and kind, not envious or boastful or proud or haughty or selfish or rude. It goes on to say that we must bear with them. We must believe in them. We're not to think evil of them. So if I'm going to love my enemies, I cannot, in my mind, in my thinking, allow myself to start thinking they're out to get me. If God is for me, who can be against me? If I'm on God's side, God is with me. I need to be mindful of that, and thus I will not be seeing all of those people out there trying to get me. Sometimes you may seem alone, but the closer you nuzzle up to the heart of God, the more comfort you'll receive. When in Psalm 23, when David wrote that wonderful psalm, he wrote that as a personal relationship with the shepherd God. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so there's where we need to be. We need to be walking with God. And thus all of those that may be against us will be insignificant because we're holding to the hand of God. Larry, you have something that you want to say?
Yeah, Ricky, let me add just a couple of more verses to that because I understand how this person probably feels. Just certain verses you can always keep in mind, and we all know them very well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Also, just as well, remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they were new day word stressing, when they were having a hard time. He said to them in chapter 14 of John, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Ricky?
We sure do appreciate the caller and texting in that question. And we live in a day and a time where we can be focused on the shadows rather than the glory of the Lord in heaven. And so let's look vertical. It's time for us to take another break. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and we have one more 30 minutes left. So make certain you go ahead and join us, call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak. The number 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. The information we're about to give you is free. We're glad to send it to you in the mail. Now's your chance to call in and receive this correspondence course. You will learn things from God's Word that you may never have heard before. Why not enroll? Why not get this coming to you so that you can see better what God intends for us to be? We'll be right back. We are back live now. We do want you to know how much we are honored that you have joined us today as we go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the lines are now available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. Please remember that correspondence course we just mentioned is free. We're happy to send it to you, and you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before, because many of the subjects that are taught in churches today, the devil has been very effective at hiding things that need to be known, that may even keep us from going to heaven. So it's best to know everything God wants for us rather than just keeping our eyes with blinders on. So why don't you receive this course? We'll send it to you free of charge. The number is, for the operator standing by, 553-5157. She's standing by right now. You can get that information in the mail to you tomorrow. But now the lines, if you have a question, go ahead and call and join us right now at 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak.
Arthur calls in today. He says, was Christ crucified on a cross or a stake? Well, Arthur, we sure appreciate you calling in. If we're just talking about the words used in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 27, verses 40 through 42, they were mocking Jesus while he was on the cross. And in fact, the words that were used there, they said, come down off of the cross. And so if we're just talking the word that's been translated into English, it is translated cross. And according to verse 50, he would later die on the cross. But I think you're probably reaching a little bit deeper than just the English words. And so when we go back to the Greek word that's used for cross here is S-T-A-U-R-O-S, which literally means a stake, or it can mean a stake, a post, or a pole. And so that item which was made out of wood. And so that's really what Jesus died on. There are some questions of what it looked like, and I've seen numerous different pictures over the years. But it, for all intents and purposes, it was called a cross. But the Greek word literally means a stake, a post, or a pole. Now, just for another little tidbit, when Jesus is talked about in Acts concerning where he died, the Bible refers to it as a tree. That's another little tidbit, Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, Acts chapter 10, verse 39, and then Galatians 3 and verse 13 talks about him being hung on a tree. And so I think all that makes reference to what we call the cross of Jesus Christ. I hope that's been helpful to you, Arthur. Very good question. I don't think that's been asked on this broadcast. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. If you wish to text your question in, go ahead and do that right now. Again, that text number is 725-9283. We are better than halfway through the broadcast, and we're on the other side. We've got maybe one more break left. And so go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have Ashley calling in this question. Ashley, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for joining us today as we go to the Bible for the answer. She asked a really good question, and we sure do appreciate your participation today. Again, if you would like to ask a question, you can do so, have it written down like this, or you can call in and ask live over the air. The number is 308-9564. Ashley's question is there just one specific church that keeps the word right? Well, Ashley, I don't think we've ever had that question asked just like you ask it there, and we sure do appreciate that very much. Well, I just went online right quick to just see how many different denominations there are in the United States, and what I'm looking at here, according to Wikipedia, that they calculate there's approximately 38,000 different Christian denominations in the United States. 38,000. Now, when God set up his church in the first century, and when he inspired Paul to write, for example, Ephesians 4 and verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, or as in the previous verse, verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, they are one body, one faith is mentioned. So when the Bible was inspired and there was just one faith and one body, and earlier he explained what the body was in chapter 1 of Ephesians in verse 22 and 23, where it says he put all things under his feet and gave him head to be over all things to the church, which is his body. So if there's just one body or one, that would mean there's just one church. So the truth of the matter, that is truth from God's word, there is just one church the Bible speaks of. Now, among those churches, there were individual groups or assemblies that met from place to place, such as the church at Ephesus or Corinth and such. But as far as the faith is concerned, there was just one faith. There was just one church. However, today in just the United States, 38,000. So when you think about the difference there, does that make you shake your head? Did your mouth drop open like it did with me when I saw that just a few minutes ago? Well, if that's the case, then listen closely to what Jesus said. Before he ever set up his church, before anybody was added to his church, he prayed a prayer about his church, his people. In John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, he had just prayed for the 12 apostles whom he had chosen. And then he says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but for all those also those who will believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. That's what he prayed. He prayed for us that we would all be one, united, not divided. And the result of that, he goes on to explain. The end of verse 21 says, that the world may believe that you've sent me. End of verse 23, he even adds this, that the world may believe that you have loved them just as you've loved me. So being united, speaking the same thing, being no divisions among us, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, being one tells the world that Jesus is real and that God loves man. So if that is a message to the world that is given by unity, by us all being one, then what does 38,000 churches tell the world? If you being united together says to the world that God loves man and that Jesus is real, what does division tell the world? I hope you agree with me. That ain't a good thing. That's telling the world God isn't real. If Jesus is real, God hates man. Many people have come to that conclusion. God knew they were going to come to that conclusion based upon the interventions and the teachings that man came up with. Jesus prayed, though. John chapter 17, verse 20, 21. Read it for yourself. Go on down to verse 24. He prayed that we'd be united together. So, Ashley, that's the church I want to be part of. So how can I be that way? Well, I have got to ignore and not allow any of the man-made teachings of those 38,000 churches to interfere with what God's pure word tells me that I ought to be. Hope that's been helpful to you, Ashley. Thank you so much for your question. Again, those scriptures were John chapter 17, verse 20, 21, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and Ephesians 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. Thanks, Ashley. Keep on listening. Keep on studying. And if you haven't enrolled in that correspondence course, take this opportunity to go ahead and call 553-5157, 553-5157. Ask the operator standing by there to send you the course, and we'll get it in tomorrow's mail. Thank you so much. Again, the number here, if you have a question, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have another call calling in today. It says, which day is the Sabbath? Which day is the Sabbath? We sure appreciate you calling in. I went back to Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. And Exodus 16 and verse 23 talks about the Sabbath. And what you'll find as you dig a little bit further, you'll find that Sabbath really just means rest. It is the day of rest. But if we want to get clarity, to be absolutely sure which day is the Sabbath day? We go to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12, the Bible says, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the sons of your female servants and the strangers may be refreshed. And so the day of rest, the Sabbath, was going to be that seventh day, the seventh day of the week. And the seventh day of the week is Saturday. At least that's the name that we've given it. It's just the seventh day. But our name on the seventh day is Saturday. And thus, the first day of the week is Sunday. That's Sunday is our name for it, but it's just the first day of the week. And so when we read in the scriptures of the New Testament church, we'll see that they actually came together on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, that they would give on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And so we follow that practice as a church. We keep the first day of the week as we see the example of the church. But very good question concerning the Sabbath. The Sabbath was, in fact, Saturday, and they were to keep that holy. And when I say they, that was given to the Jews, those who were under the law of Moses, what we commonly call now the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. But join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. We are about to take our last break, and that will be put us into our last segment. So if you have a question, go ahead and get that question in before the end of the broadcast. 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are absolutely serious about that offering concerning the correspondence course. There's been quite a few that have signed up today, but don't let that stop you from taking advantage of it as well. Go ahead and call the operator standing by so that you can get that course. Again, that's 553-5157. A help, only a help, not a replacement for the Bible. We absolutely want to encourage you with all our might to go to the scriptures and to read your answers from there. And so when you get the course in the mail, use it to go to the scriptures to get the questions or the answers to the questions. You can never go wrong with going to the Bible. There's no such thing as a bad scripture. All scripture is good. All is given by inspiration of God. So we just want to encourage you in that. Take advantage of it. Go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Calling your question here at the station, 308-9564.
We have a caller texting in this question. Could you please give the biblical grounds for divorce and biblical ground for remarried and or married again? Thanks. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. Let me just read it. It's been a while since we've read this. I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3, and I'll read through verse 12. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" Now, by the way, I might point out here that it mentions man and woman, wife, not man and man. Okay, all right, verse 6 now. "So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Now they said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because the hardness of your heart permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "Well, if such is the case of a man and his wife, it's better not to marry." Well, they understood how difficult that was, and so Jesus responded to that. He said to them, "All cannot accept this saying, but only to those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs." Now, a eunuch is someone that no longer participates in the sexual activity. "For there are eunuchs who are born thus from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. But he who is able, let him accept it. So there would be some there and some today that are just not willing to accept that teaching. God expected one man with one woman for life. End of statement. Now, when sin intervenes, sin is involved, fornication specifically, as mentioned in verse 9, then that gives a freedom to marry again. There you have it. Hopefully that's helpful to you. But I know just as soon as I've read this passage, there's going to be some more questions coming because some people are not willing to accept it. Jesus knew that. That's why he said that in verse 12. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We sure do appreciate your text question. There's the answer, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Remember, the correspondence course is available to you. We're more than happy to send that to you. And by the way, those of you that want to study more on this, you can go to our website at BibleAlone.com, and there's an article under Bible Materials where you can download this information as well, and we're happy to send that to you, of course, free of charge. Well, then you would just download it. It would be coming straight to your computer. Again, that would be www.BibleAlone.com. If you want the correspondence course, it is at 553-5157.
You know, Ricky, just as you were talking, I was thinking about that marriage institution that God established. What a wonderful institution it is. And for those of you who are married and those of you who are looking to get married, you know, we want to be very much familiar with what God says concerning the marital relationship. Sometimes as husbands, we get it wrong, and sometimes as wives, we get it wrong. But God has given instruction in his word to help us in Ephesians chapter chapter 5, towards the end there. What you'll find is that God has instruction for both of the husband and the wife. And I want to focus on the husband for just a few minutes here, talking about kind of their responsibility in the marriage relationship. In verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5, God says, you husbands, you need to love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And so for as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, the husband should be loving his wife that very same way. And verse 26, it goes on talking about Jesus' sacrifice for the church and why he gave himself for her. Verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. Verse 28 is key. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. The idea that the husband should be nourishing to his wife. He should be cherishing his wife. In verse 31, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And both the husband and wife have to see marriage this way, that they are no longer two separate entities, but rather now they are one single entity. They are, in fact, in God's eyesight, one flesh. And thus you have to treat each other this way. He finishes up in verses 32 and 33 by saying, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. God is very clear on the relationship that's supposed to be in place. And we need to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that we are being who we need to be in our marriage so that it can work the way God intended. I think we're almost coming to the end of the broadcast, but you can go ahead and try to send a question in via text at 725-9283, or you can try to call in 308-9564.
We also want you to know that the operator is still standing by if you would like to enroll in the correspondence course. In that course, you will learn things in God's Word that you may never have heard before. There are things that the devil has been very cunning and crafty at through these hundreds of years to build in a doctrine that will not get you to heaven. And so there are many that have some 38,000, I just noticed today on the internet, 38,000 different doctrines out there that are using the Bible, but many of them are not teaching the truth. And so how do you know if it's teaching the truth? We need to find out what the Bible says. So go ahead, call the operator standing by, 553-5157. And get that correspondence in the mail to you free of charge. Could not be easier, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak through that correspondence course, and thus we won't be surprised on that day of judgment when we stand before Him. By the way, every one of us will meet Him face to face. Hopefully, we will have served Him enough, or faithfully, in truth enough, to where He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It won't be based on feelings. It will not be based upon man-made doctrine or churches or preachers. It'll be based upon how I have obeyed or not obeyed His word. In order to do that, I've got to know what His word says. So call the operator standing by, 553-5157. We'll get that correspondence course to you in tomorrow's mail. Again, that number is 553-5157. We've reached the end of our broadcast today. We thank you so much for joining us, and we hope and pray that this lesson, the scriptures have been a blessing to you today. We thank you for your desire for joy that only God can give. And understand, it will not come from physical things, money, or position. The only way to have the true happiness that God intends for us to have today is by yielding to His touch, obediently loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've got to learn to be content with the things that we have. And please know that it won't come through church doctrines or experiences or emotions. It'll only come from His word. What we must do in every area of our life is let the Bible speak.